Well, I'd like us to turn to the passage that we read in our second or even third scripture reading and the purposes behind the gospel narratives. We could look at Matthew. He's writing for a Jewish audience, isn't he? You should have known that Jesus was the King of the Jews. We know why Mark is writing that Gentile tract. Oh, you can almost hear Peter in Mark, can't you? Speaking through Mark's pen. Why could we not believe? We saw, we heard, we witnessed, and yet he had to upbraid us, that's a strong word, with reproach, final chapter of Mark, for our unbelief. Unbelief is so strong. Luke, of course, more a biography, the life and doings, the life and times of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we know why John wrote, because he tells us, and we read the verses, verse 31, the final verse of chapter 20, these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Now, there are a number of people in John who didn't believe, who the Lord Jesus Christ came to and they did believe, or who were brought to Jesus and he did believe. One of the wonders of meeting in a service like this on the Lord's Day is we know the Lord is in this place. It's rather like the patriarch of old who said, the Lord is in this place and I knew it not. But dear friend, you should know it because he's promised where two or three are gathered in his name, referred to in prayer. He is in the midst. And if the Lord is here, rather we can imagine Thomas. If the Lord is here, we can imagine Mary. I'd like to refer to Nathaniel as well. And it's very good to have a clock which is loud and clear at the back there. I often find that whenever I visit, time seems to travel faster than it does in Plymouth. I've never understood this, but I'll keep an eye on there. Remember how the Lord came to where Thomas was. Then came Jesus. And if we had to have a title for this morning, it would be Then Came Jesus. Did you notice in John chapter 11, we had a similar thing? There, Mary didn't come to Jesus. Why? Because she had a wrong view. If thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. So I'm not coming. She had a wrong view of Christ. What was Thomas's problem? He was not going to be taken in. He was not gullible. He was not going to lose face before these other disciples, almost banging the pulpit, which I wouldn't dream of doing here. I will not believe. And Nathaniel, look at Nathaniel very briefly in chapter 1, if we have just a moment's time. Remember how Nathaniel said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? That despised Nazareth, as the hymn writer puts it. And there are objections to belief, aren't there? I wonder if there are any here. And you know a lot. Thomas knew a lot. Mary knew a lot. Nathaniel perhaps didn't know that much, but he wasn't going to learn much more unless he responded to Philip's invitation, come and see. And therefore, Philip had invited Nathaniel. Thomas, I suspect, was invited. And you remember Martha said to her sister Mary, the Master is come and calleth for thee. She came to Jesus because he came to her. What a wonderful picture that is. Thrice and perhaps elsewhere in this gospel narrative. So I'd like us to think, first of all, of Thomas and 3 points very briefly this morning. And these 3 points, I trust, will apply to others in that we can think about, whether Nathaniel or whether Mary, and possibly apply to some in this room. That it may be for many years, and many testimonies go along this line, don't they? That we were among the Lord's people. Perhaps we were worshippers. We couldn't imagine not coming to where the Lord had promised to be on his day. But we couldn't say of Jesus Christ, he loved me and gave himself for me. There's something blocking, isn't there? What was it with Thomas? He'd seen everything. He hadn't missed out at all, and yet still he didn't believe. We could actually say the same about Peter if we were to turn to Mark. What was it about Peter? Oh, Peter said, why did we not believe? It's almost as though Peter in Mark's narrative is saying, Don't be like me. Don't hear of the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't hear of his comforts and his promises. Don't, as it were, be content to listen. You need to do what the scripture says in the Old Testament. You need to taste and see that the Lord is good. And as our brother announced this evening, God willing, from the prophet Nahum, I trust that we'll be able to see in all circumstances that the Lord is good. So perhaps if you have an obstacle, a barrier, there's something you can't quite cross, then may it be, if the Lord's gracious to us in this morning, when I say morning hour, I don't mean hour, I mean in the time that we're together, in this morning time, perhaps to begin to open an eye or an heart. Well, first of all, Jesus has come. And I would hope that there is no doubt upon anyone, even the youngest here. I need to try and fix my eye on the youngest, but I think I've found him, but I'd better not make him feel too uncomfortable. But even the youngest can know, the oldest can know, the Lord has come. And can we seriously doubt that? The evidence is so clear to us. When the disciples said,